This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
I'm going to read to you. This is again something I've had 15 requests for yesterday after I read it as I was getting ready for the Hines Ward presentation. And my phone kept going off. I finally had to turn it off because when I get a notification, it'll vibrate when my ringer's turned off. Mm-hmm. And so everything on the table was, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? People said, where is that? Can I see it? And it's the Central Park ad. You can Google it. Here's the problem, though. A lot of times when you pull that up, it's a wide shot picture of the article because of the headline. And people don't read the whole article or the whole ad. I want you to listen very carefully to this. By the way, I got a dear friend out there. Her name is Jay West. Jay posted on some social media a little while ago. You see this? He was calling for these innocent boys to be executed. No, I sent Jay a note a minute ago. So, Jay, I talked about this yesterday. I'm about to talk about it again. Turn on your damn radio. If you know Jay, and we all do, Jay West, not Jay Jones. She's much prettier than you are, I'm just going to tell you.
I believe it.
Yeah. So, anyhow, she needs to hear this because she needs to understand there is virtually nothing that I'm about to read that anyone with common sense would disagree with. There may be some folks that are just adamantly anti-death penalty that would object to it, but I want you to listen very carefully to what Donald Trump said in 1989 about crime in New York. What has happened to our city over the past 10 years? What has happened to law and order, to the neighborhood cop we all trusted to safeguard our homes and families, the cop who had the power under the law to help us in times of danger, keep us safe from those who would prey on innocent lives to fulfill some distorted inner need? What has happened to the respect for authority, the fear of retribution by the courts, society, and the police for those who break the law, who wantonly trespass on the rights of others? What has happened, is the complete breakdown of life as we knew it. Many New York families, white, black, Hispanic, and Asian, have had to give up the pleasure of a leisurely stroll through the park at dusk, the Saturday visit to the playground with their families, the bike ride at dawn, or just sitting on their stoops, giving them up as hostages in a world ruled by the law of the streets. As roving bands of wild criminals roam our neighborhoods, dispensing their own vicious brand of twisted hatred on whomever they encounter. At what point did we cross the line from the fine and noble pursuit of genuine civil liberties to the reckless and dangerously permissive atmosphere which allows criminals of every age to beat and rape a helpless woman and then laugh at her family's anguish? And why do they laugh? They laugh because they know that soon, very soon, they will be returned to the streets to rape and maim and kill once again and yet face no great personal risk to themselves. Mayor Koch has stated that hate and rancor should be removed from our hearts. I do not think so. I want to hate these muggers and murderers. They should be forced to suffer, and when they kill, they should be executed for their crimes. They must serve as examples so that others will think long and hard before committing a crime or an act of violence. Yes, Mayor Koch, I want to hate these murderers, and I always will. I am not looking to psychoanalyze or understand them. I am looking to punish them. If the punishment is strong, the attacks on innocent people will stop. I recently watched a newscast trying to explain the, quote, anger in these young men. I no longer want to understand their anger. I want them to understand our anger. I want them to be afraid. How can our great society tolerate the continued brutalization of its citizens by crazed misfits? Criminals must be told, I'm sorry, it's real hard to read this because of the print. Criminals must be told that their civil liberties end when an attack on our safety begins. When I was young, I sat in a diner with my father and witnessed two young bullies cursing and threatening a very frightened waitress. Two cops rushed in. They lifted up the thugs and threw them out the door, warning them to never cause trouble again. I miss the feeling of security New York's finest once gave to the citizens of our city. Let our politicians give back our police department's power to keep us safe. Unshackle them from the constant chant of police brutality, which every petty criminal hurls immediately at any officer who has just risked his or her life to save another's. We must cease our continuous pandering to the criminal population of this city. Give New York back to the citizens who have earned the right to be New Yorkers. Send a message loud and clear to those who would murder our citizens and terrorize New York. Bring back the death penalty and bring back our police. That's it. Donald J. Trump. That's what he wrote. Not a call there to execute any specific person other than murderers. By the way, there was no murder committed in the New York rape of the Central Park Five were accused of. They were wrongly accused by the police. No doubt about it. Police corruption led to their conviction. No doubt about it. And that is an awful thing that unfortunately happens to a very small percentage of in criminal cases across this country. It's not special to New York. It's not special to black kids. It's not special to Hispanic kids. It happens in many different neighborhoods, in many different cities, all across the country. Let's just make it as clear as we possibly can. Is there a racial proponent to being unjustly accused? Yeah, absolutely there is. But there's also a racial proponent to the number of actual crimes committed percentage-wise. In other words, are there a higher percentage of young black males committing crimes versus young white males? Here's the interesting part. There is, but if you take socioeconomics into it, there really isn't. It's poor people. Poor white kids, poor black kids. There just happen to be a higher percentage of poor black kids than poor white kids. Isn't that interesting? Bottom line, this ad in 1989 didn't say a damn thing about executing anyone except murderers. And it had not one thing to say that was either cruel or unkind or over the top. He called for hatred and rancor toward violent criminals. You're damn right you have hatred and rancor toward violent criminals. Give it to them back. That'll end this problem. He was right then, and he's right now. I'll be the first one to tell you. Donald Trump can put his foot in his mouth better than anybody I've ever seen in my life. The only way he would be better at it is if he had more feet. That'd be it. If we could somehow come up with Donald Trump as an octopus, that'd be the only way to make him better at putting his foot in his mouth. Having said that, when a dude's right, he's right. And in 1989, and part of the reason he became president in 2016 is because in 1989, while he was being outrageous and pinching butts and all this, that, and the other, when he would make the rare public statement, I'm not talking about showing up to, you know, do a cameo for Home Alone or show up on, you know, Password Plus or whatever the hell the game show was back in the day. I'm talking about when he was making a public statement about a public policy or a public event. He was right, and he was right about what was going on in New York City. I'll take you back to what I said yesterday. This is history. This is not subjective opinion. The crime rate and the state of the city was so screwed up with Ed Koch and David Dinkins that it propelled a successful federal prosecutor, a Republican, into the mayor's office, Rudy Giuliani. Rudy's social policies were so unpopular that he left under, you know, kind of a get out before he kick you out situation. I don't think he could have won another election, but he was term limited out. Here's the thing, though, with Giuliani, the reason that people remember him so fondly. Back when the 9/11 thing hit, he was America's mayor. I mean, he did everything he could possibly do right when that horrible attack occurred. But go back to what he did as a mayor. He cleaned up Times Square. He ran the criminal element out of the interior of New York City. And he was widely praised for it. It's exactly what Donald Trump was looking for back in 1989. Jeff in Edgefield.
I was just coming here to kind of food for thought or whatever. At the same time, Donald Trump said those words in the 80s. I'm not mistaken, that's around the same time Bill Clinton added that extra star to the Arkansas state flag to commemorate the Confederacy, before Hillary Clinton called young black men super predators, and as first lady of the state of governor, where the state of Arkansas, the governor's wife.
I forgot about that.
They used to decorate the state house and the governor's mansion in Confederate flags. Food for thought.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that. Thank you very kindly.
It's funny that they can't find any photos of that nowadays. like someone else's school records.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Thanks, Jeff. I tell you something else is funny too. Whenever you talk about the Clintons and the political atmosphere of the day, a friend of mine who is very sensitive to the struggle for homosexuals in America to be protected under the law equally. I want to call him a gay rights activist. He just doesn't want gays to be picked off on the streets the way that they used to be. You know, he doesn't want anyone to come under fire for being gay. He made some reference to the Republicans. I said, you know, I understand how you can be angry at some folks, but keep in mind, Barack Hussein Obama, when he was running for president in 2008, said that he believed marriage should be between men and women. 2008, he said that. Who is the single biggest, or what was the single biggest legislative action against gay marriage in the history of the White House? The Defense of Marriage Bill, signed by Bill Clinton. Keep in mind.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.